Hey everyone, and welcome to Variety Radio Online. I'm Rachel, and joining us today is Daniel Gillies, who is known for his role as Elijah Michelson on The Originals, which airs on the CW. How are you doing, Daniel?
I'm good, thank you. I'm just driving around in the impossible heat of Los Angeles right now.
Oh, I'm in Florida, so I feel you on that. We have disgusting humidity.
Now I don't even feel like I have a right to bitch about the heat. Florida's bad. I'm about to head over to the valley too, so I'm about to cook. So maybe I'm getting kind of up near Florida numbers, but maybe not quite.
Yeah, I've never been out there, but I know it gets hot. So before we jump into the questions, I just want to say how amazing season 3 was. I felt like everyone's acting really got to shine. The storyline was wonderful, and just overall, it was just like an awesome season.
Well, thank you very much. That's really sweet of you.
You're welcome. So towards the end of the season, it really started picking up the pace a lot with Cammie dying and Davina dying and Elijah triggering the prophecy. Were you surprised with all the twists and turns that the last few episodes took?
We were a little forecast in terms of knowing that the people were going to leave. I didn't think that we'd lose as many as we did, so that in a sense was surprising. The show has always sort of been like a bit of a mechanical bull in a sense, so I've never been terribly shocked at it taking kind of ferocious twists and turns.
Did you have a favorite scene from season 3?
Yeah, I did actually. There was a scene, I don't recall which episode it was. I think it was Phoebe was mourning Jackson, you know, and I liked the way that scene ended up in the edit. Phoebe was sort of sitting down in the kitchen and kind of, you know, mourning her the loss of her husband, and Elijah came in and he sort of, I guess, comforts her by sitting down on the floor with her. You know, what was nice about that was it was sort of Phoebe's idea to sit down in the kitchen, and then we both cut out pretty much most of our dialogue, and I just said, look, I'd like to come in and sit down there with her, you know, and there's something just kind of charming and simple and sweet about the scene, which I really loved. I've loved shooting other scenes as much or more even, some certain scenes that I've just felt really confident about, and then sometimes you see the edit and it just doesn't end up honoring what you did, but it's okay. It's like, you know, you don't control every element.
Mhm. I love that scene. That was like, it was so raw and just heartbreaking to watch that. And I thought it was perfect, like with not a lot of dialogue and everything, like you said. So it worked out very well.
Scenes are always better when they have less dialogue. I just always feel that way. I always feel like the last refuge of the writer is dialogue. We overdo it so much. You know, the things that I love that our fan base is so excited about are the tween. They're interested in a glance or a gesture or a joke told or the frequency of the way someone hands an object to another person, or it's the accidents that make us exciting. It's really not it's not any contrivance in the writing that can. To me, I always feel like the things in between are the magic. Do you know what I mean? And that's not to take anything away from our wonderful writers. Like there's something that, you know, it's very difficult for writers to learn to not write dialogue. Do you know what I mean? It's a very difficult task. Subtract what you've written. Like, it's a very tempting thing, especially when you're a new writer, to want to write everything that is going on in your protagonist's head. But when you cease to do that, when you withhold and you demonstrate restraint in your writing, and you start to just write what's necessary, then what happens is your audience suddenly starts filling in all the blanks. Do you know what I mean? I mean, there was that mom. Did you watch Game of Thrones the other night? Finale.
I don't watch Game of Thrones.
Get out of here. This interview is over. This
I'm
interview
so
is
sorry.
Over. Okay, no, no, I hope you enjoyed it well. Listen, so in the finale, there was just this beautiful opening several minutes, which just without any dialogue has told this entire strategy and story from the perspective of several shots. It just demonstrated such a confidence. Like there's something, you know, to me, silence, especially in narrative, always demonstrates such confidence. But anyway, I'm off on a rant.
No, that's fine. It makes the scenes more relatable too, I think. Cause in real life, you're not always talking constantly.
No, and even more so, where the restraint that we have is about the fact that we don't always want the other, like, we're kind of cowards, you know, like, in life we walk around rarely expressing, like, what we are, but we're kind of always expressing what we are because of what we don't say, do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. the things we're not saying are communicating much more than the things we're saying, so we're often, you know, we're often laughing just so that we don't cry, we're often, you know, making a joke just so that we don't get angry at our lover. We're diffusing situations. We're constantly not sort of allowing our feelings, and that's sort of what makes people so irresistibly fascinating.
Yeah, actions speak louder than words.
Certainly.
So we got a lot of fan questions in, and one of them was they were wondering who has been your favorite antagonist on the show so far.
Certainly, the actor that plays Tristan. My brain is Oliver Ackland. He's just a marvelous actor, and I think we were very honored to have him participate in the show.
Yeah, I wish you got more.
A very close dead heat, sort of second, third, and fourth would be Owiso, who played Papa Tunde in for season one, and then there was, goodness me, the Canadian girl. I'm blanking right now. She was a redheaded. She was a love interest of Klaus in season one as well.
Rebecca Breeds of season one.
Not Rebecca Breeds, but I think Rebecca is amazing as well. Elise. Thank you. We've had beautiful guest stars. We just have had the most amazing and talented guest stars. Now and again, it hasn't quite worked, but it's by and large, it's been we've been very spoiled.
Yeah. They've done a great job with all the characters that they've been able to develop with all the guest roles.
Definitely.
So we had quite a few people asking about a certain Joseph Morgan. And one of the questions we got was if you could sum up what working with Joseph Morgan is like into one word, what would it be and why?
That's a very hard question. I'm pretty sure I've been asked this question many times, and I never have a good answer for it. It's just hard to, like, you know, if I said to you, tell me about your mother in one word, you know, like, it's a hard thing, man, you know. So that's my one word, mother. The thing about this kind of, you know, even if I present you with a word, like it then begs the question, you see what I mean? And then of course mm-hmm. I have to go on and elaborate and explain. And I mean, he's, you know, he's really committed is what he is. It's commitment. And it's really admirable. You know, he's very, he never gives a scene anything less than everything he has. So it's a level of devotion is a better word. You know, he's a very devoted individual, and he honors. He's far it's a really pleasant environment to walk into when you work with him. But then, you know, the problem with saying something like devotion is that you're like, okay, I'm overlooking how fun it is and how much we laugh every day and how much we are committed to sort of a kind of lunacy and how much we play and how, you know, it's sort of, there's so many aspects to a person, do you know what I mean? So it's difficult.
Well, the chemistry between you two is awesome to watch on screen. Like, I love the Elijah and Klaus scenes. I know everyone else does too, and the brother dynamic that you guys have.
Thank you.
So, it's early in the game, but since it's going to be a mid-season premiere, is shooting going to start later? And if it is, do you find that to be a positive, since it gives everyone a bit more time, or...
I don't. We're shooting not that much later, like a couple of weeks or something. It gives us, it gives us a little more time. Yeah, we're a little closer to Comic-Con, I'll say that. We're a little, so we sort of get there and go to Comic-Con straight away. But we finish earlier, I think. You know, it's the way it's looking right now. We're gonna finish a whole lot earlier, and that's exciting to me. I mean, anytime I get to see my kids, I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. There's also the possibility of, you know, writing and directing my own stuff if I actually have time. There's also time to get in shape. You know, I feel like, because especially Joe and I, once we start working, we're never off the set, you know? We're never, ever off the set. And, Because we don't leave, you know, it's very difficult to stay in great shape. Well, you just, you know, you're only ever at work. And unless you sort of starve yourself a little bit, which I end up sort of doing, you know, it's impossible to get in great condition because, you know, we drive 40 or 50 minutes to work each day out of Atlanta and drive back. There's just no time, like every day, you know, and you're leaving at sort of 5:30 in the morning. You know, you're lucky if you can get in a couple of workouts a week. You're very lucky. But it's not something that Joe and I can do, you know.
Right. So, your previous question kind of led into it. Do you have any projects you're working on or hope to work on that you can talk about?
Yeah, I've been sort of writing this script for the last 3 or 4 years. And I've been very disciplined in the last 2 or 3 weeks and actually have sat down and scheduled the writing of it. Meaning I came back from Europe a couple of weeks ago and every morning has just been sort of devoted to that. I'm just sort of coming back from it now. Well, not coming back from it now. I had errands to run afterwards, but my mornings are basically that right now. I guess I can talk about it. It's a study of, it's a movie that is kind of like, it's a little supernatural, actually. It's the study of this man and this woman in the wake of a terrible crime that's committed against them. And it's about how they react, individually and because of their sexuality and their gender. And it's just a study of a couple and beneath the microscope of this kind of personal cataclysm, and it's sort of got supernatural elements to it. It's slightly Darwinian in scope. I don't know. It's a difficult piece to explain, but really I've already explained it. With my first sentence.
Well, it sounds really interesting. I think a lot of people will look forward to it.
Yeah, people have been very gracious about Broken Kingdom and supporting me with that stuff. And I look forward to giving those people something else once again.
Well, we can't wait to see or hear more about that, and we can't wait for season 4. So thank you so much for talking with us today.
No, thank you very much for taking the time.